Oh boy, a cute little pink bunny rabbit. Just what I always wanted, my own little bunny rabbit. I will name him George, and I will hug him and pet him and squeeze him, and pat him and pet him, and rub him and caress him, and I will give him security. I will keep him warm like a mother hen, so he will never feel rejected or lacked for love.
The man most directly responsible is Miles Bennett Dyson. In a few months, he creates a revolutionary type of microneural net processor. In 3 years, Cyberdyne will become the largest supplier of military computer systems. All stealth bombers upgraded with Cyberdyne will become fully unmanned. Afterwards, they fly with a perfect operational record. The Skynet funding bill is passed. The system goes online August 4, 1997. Human decisions are removed from strategic defense. Skynet begins to learn at a geometric rate. It becomes self-aware at 2:14 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, August 29th. In the panic, they try to pull the plug. Yes, it launches its missiles against the targets in Russia. Because Skynet knows that the Russian counterattack will eliminate its enemies over here. I have detailed files.
I am Dracula. I bid you welcome. Listen to them. Children of the night, what music they make. The spider spins his web for the unwary fly. The blood is the life, Mr. Renfield. This is very old wine. I never drink wine. I have chartered a ship to take us to England. It shall arrive tomorrow evening.
It is now 11 o'clock and I'm fed up and tired. Marty, I would like to address... Somebody get him a phone book so he can see me. 40 million jobs in show business, I get a midget to direct me. I have regards for you, Marty, from Tony Bonini and Frankie Garzano, and they told me to tell you you'll be dead in the morning. Marty, you are the most annoying director I've had in my whole career. Little guy, he's the kind of guy in prison was the squealer all the time. Always pulling at your pants leg going, let's do it again. I said, Marty, that's 85 times. De Niro don't have it no more. He's busy mumbling. Marty, when we look at all the movies you made, none of them were great. None of them. I look around the room and realize now, aside from Clint Eastwood, I'm the biggest name here. Clint Eastwood is now thrilled his name was mentioned. Marty, you have a bright future ahead of you. Maybe instead of Jesus Christ, you'll do a story about a rabbi. A rabbi schlepping a piece of wood someplace. It'd be a great story.
I'm still trying to figure out how I got here, but probably it began with my first job on Broadway. I'd been training for 2 years at the Neighborhood Playhouse under the teachings of Sanford Meisner, and when our 2 years were up, we did what was called a demonstration play, and producers and directors and people of the theater were invited to come and watch us do our stuff. The next morning, it was the custom for the students to go back to the playhouse to see if anyone would call. Well, the phone rang, and the receptionist picked it up, and she listened, and then she covered the speaker, and she looked at me, and she said, "It's for you. Guthrie McClintock is casting a small role in G.B. Shaw's The Doctor's Dilemma with the great Catherine Cornell, and he's looking at young fellas." Well, by that time, I was halfway down the stairs. I knew where the office was. I had left my 8x10s there. I ran down the stairs. I ran half a block west to 6th Avenue. I sprinted 4 blocks up to 50th Street. I slid into the lobby of the RKO building, into an open elevator, up to the 8th floor, ran down the hall. It was a Saturday morning, the door was open, no receptionist. There was McClintock, still talking on the phone to the receptionist. And he saw me, and he started to laugh, and he was one of those laughers who segues into a cough. Oh, laughing and coughing and red in the face, looking at me, and he literally slid off his chair onto the floor. And he said, "You've got the job."
we don't want to get too serious here, okay? The guy's the greatest director of all time, innovative, cutting edge, and so on. I think it's very appropriate, by the way, that Marty's on the dais with William Guffman, who preserved the oldest known film in history. Because this is a little known fact, Marty has the oldest pair of denim bell-bottom jeans in history. If any of you have worked with him, you've known that he's worn those jeans every day on the set for the past, actually, 25 years. And the good news is that, as Marty knows, that style is coming back. It's just been a little unfortunate that he's worn them every day on the set. You ever see a picture of Marty Scorsese where he wasn't wearing those denim bell-bottom jeans? And what's really excruciating about it, if you don't mind my saying, Marty, honestly, is the fact that you've starched them and pressed them. And let me tell you, it's not just the fact that he starches them and presses them. He has them done like at a sheet metal place. I mean, if you tripped over the guy, you'd get a gash in your ankle. This is a true story.
So, you've received the free ticket I sent you. I'm glad. I did so want you to be here. You see, it doesn't matter if you catch me and send me back to the asylum. Gordon's been driven mad. I've proved my point. I've demonstrated that there's no difference between me and everyone else. It only takes one bad day to reduce the sanest man alive to lunacy. That's how far the world is from where I am. Just one bad day. You had a bad day once. Am I right? I know I am. Why else would you dress up as a flying rat? You had a bad day, and it drove you as crazy as everyone else. Only you won't admit it. You have to keep pretending that life makes sense, that there's a point to all this struggling. God, you make me want to puke! I mean, what is it with you? What made you the way you are, Girlfriend killed by the mob, maybe? Brother carved up by some mugger? Something like that, I'll bet. Something like that. Something like that happened to me, you know. I'm not entirely sure what it was. Sometimes I remember it one way, sometimes another. If I'm going to have a past, I prefer it to be multiple choice. My point is, I went crazy. When I discovered what a black joke the world is, I went crazy as a goot. I admit it. Why can't you? I mean, you're not unintelligent. You must see the reality of the situation. Do you have any idea how many times we've come close to World War III over a flock of geese on a computer screen? Do you know what triggered the last World War? An argument over how many telegraph poles Germany owed its War Department creditors. Telegraph poles. It's all a joke! Everything that everyone ever struggled for is all a monstrous, demented gag! So why can't you see the funny side? Why aren't you laughing?